Today, in the first reading, we hear a very critical passage in salvation history, the call of Abraham, our father in faith. And this comes from Genesis chapter 12. I want to look at the previous chapter a little bit, Genesis chapter 11. And that was the construction of the Tower of Babel. And the human beings, they were trying to construct this massive tower to get to the heavens so they could be like gods themselves. But as you read in Genesis 11, it says the reason that they were building this tower was to make a name for themselves. To make a name for themselves. And then we hear in the first reading today, which comes from Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abram. The Lord says to Abram to leave his homeland, to leave all of his relatives and the land that he grew up in, you know, everything that he would have been used to, his own culture, leave it all and to go to a land that God would show him, a land that he had never been to before. And God said that he would make a name for Abram. He would make his name great. And Abram, keep in mind, at this point, he's 75 years old, not exactly the age at which people are trying to make a new life for themselves. You know, it's not really an age where people would want to pack up and leave everything behind and go on, you know, some incredible adventure to an unknown land. You know, maybe someone in their 20s might want to do that. Probably not someone who's 75. But we see that Abram makes this tremendous sacrifice when he hears God tell him to leave his homeland, and he responds with a generous yes. And that's why he's our father in faith. This is a key moment of salvation history. And because of Abram's faith at this moment, salvation would come through his descendants. Ultimately, Jesus Christ would be a descendant of Abraham. But I want to look at the two contrasting views of life. You know, we have the people who are constructing the Tower of Babel. They're trying to make a name for themselves. What does that mean? They're seeking their own self-interest in life. You know, they're seeking to build themselves up through their own power. Verse Abram, who turns his back on his life and his own self-interest to follow God's will. You know, two very different approaches to life. A Tower of Babel leads to chaos and confusion. Abram's decision to follow God's will leads to the promised land. And so the question I have for each one of us to make today is the same choice that Abram is presented with in the first reading today is the choice that God presents to each one of us. He calls each and every one of us to leave our homelands, to leave behind our own desires for this life and our own plans to follow him to the promised land. That's a call that's not only extended to Abram, but it's extended to each one of us. Are we going to live our lives for ourselves, seeking our own desires, our own financial interests, seeking our own reputations, our own careers, what we want in life? Or are we willing to turn our backs on those and to follow God's promise? That's the question for each one of us today. Abram made that choice in dramatic fashion. Many of the saints throughout history have made these dramatic choices, like Matthew the Apostle, leaving behind his career as a tax collector and following Christ. Or the St. Francis of Assisi, leaving the wealth of his family behind to follow Christ. But just because we come to Mass each week, and just because we might have been raised Catholic, doesn't necessarily mean that we've made that choice. You know, there's something that's rampant in our culture. It's called cultural Catholicism. It's people who profess the Catholic faith. They hopefully go to Mass each week. They might do the fish fries and not eat meat on Fridays of Lent, but they don't have a dramatic inner transformation, a reorientation of their lives towards Christ and towards the promised land. There's a big difference between someone who simply professes the faith with words and someone who's been inwardly transformed. And that's the call that Christ is giving to each one of us. What does it look like for someone who's radically following the call of Jesus Christ? Well, first, it affects our vocation. You know, if we're called to the married life, many people are called to the sacrament of holy matrimony. Do we enter into the sacrament of holy matrimony for our own self-interest? because we want a companion for life, because we want someone to love, or we might want kids? Is it about us and is it about our own interest? Or is it truly a vocation from God, that this is God's will, that He's calling me in this life to be committed to my spouse and to be open to children and to bring children into the world and to raise them in the faith? There's a tremendous difference between those two worldviews. So many times within our culture, you know, families are not instilling the faith in their kids. Too many other things are important. You know, they instill, you know, certainly the value of sports, and they want their kids to succeed with academics. They have so many other priorities, but the faith isn't central. You know, someone who is radically following our Lord recognizes that our purpose in this life is to seek the promised land. And they'll instill that in their families. So it affects our vocation. It affects the way that we use our talents and gifts and our abilities. Are we constantly thinking about how we can get ourselves ahead? Or how we can advance the kingdom of God? And it certainly plays out in our lives of prayer. You know, somebody who is not radically following Christ, they may not pray at all. Or if they do pray, they might just say recited prayers. Whereas someone who's reoriented their life, prayer is an expression of their deepest hope in this world. You know, when they turn to prayer, it's the greatest joy in this world because they're meditating and contemplating on their ultimate goal, the day in which they'll reach the promised land. And it becomes central to their hope in life. Their contrition will be much deeper as they recognize that sin is what keeps them from the promised land. It separates them from our Lord, and it's an obstacle to the greatest desire in their life. And so someone who has that deep level of contrition will be led to the sacrament of confession more frequently, and they'll recognize more acutely the terrible effect that sin has. And so they'll have a deeper level of contrition within their life of prayer. So the question for us today, how is our life oriented? Are we trying to make a name for ourselves? Is our life oriented on our own self-interest and our own priorities, and we just kind of fit religion into that? Or have we made the radical decision to leave behind our homeland, to leave behind our attachments in this world, and to seek the promised land?